us before. And I thank you. Singing Proverbs chapter number 15 in your Bibles, and we'll continue our study through the book of Proverbs. And this chapter here boasts halfway, and I guess we're, you know, when we read half of this chapter, we'll be halfway through the book of Proverbs, all right? I guess we could look at it that way. And but we have, I have enjoyed this series. I hope that you have too. Just practical truths from the book of Proverbs. Pillar principles from the book of Proverbs is what we've called this series. And I'm going to give you another one tonight from Proverbs chapter number 15. Verse number 1, the Bible says this, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Boy, ain't that the truth. Verse number 2, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the fools poureth out foolishness." And Solomon's just laying it out, ain't he? I mean, just every verse, there's just a lot here. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hail and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Verse number 3 is where I'll take my text and we'll get our title. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." This evening, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach for a few moments on this thought, "I spy with my little eye." I spy with my little eye. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I thank you for, Lord, just the people of First Baptist Church, Lord. And as we come and, Lord, we try to preach the message you've laid on my heart for this time, I pray that you'd give us all ears to hear it. Lord, you give us feet, Lord, to apply these truths to our life. Lord, may we all have a fresh understanding that, Lord, you see everything in every place. You behold the evil, but I'm thankful that you also behold the good. And God, I pray that you'd fill me with your power, Lord, in and of myself. I will fail you, and I know that. And so, God, I ask that you would please preach through me, Lord. Fill me with your power so I can be used by you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to receive this truth from your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. How many remembers the old game, "I spy with my little eye something that is," and you name the color. That is a good way to pass the time on a long trip
But it's also a game that you can cheat in really, really good and lie about. Because as soon as somebody guesses your color, what do? I say, no, that's not it. And you pick something else. Somebody, come on, testify now. Am I the only one that did that? I spy with my little eye something that is, and then you fill in the blank. In verse number 3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. So although you may have won against your siblings, God knew you were a little liar, all right? And now we all know because you didn't confess to it. But the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I began to think about that verse, and although it's always been, I guess, a realization that God sees all and knows all, it's a good thing to be reminded that He does see all and know all, knows all. I have told you this story before, but when I worked, my first job, my first real job was at Walgreens here in town, and I was a cashier for a little bit, and then I moved over to the photo section and learned how to process photos and things. Well, if you were to go to Walmart or Walgreens now and go all the way back by the photo counter, there is a window there that it looks like a mirror that you're looking at, and you can see yourself, and you think that, man, I'm just looking at myself. But on the other side of that mirror is a window to where you can look out and you can see the sales floor. And obviously, I didn't know that before I worked there. I thought it was just a mirror. And when I got in and went to the back, that's where you had to clock in and things, and I went into that office, you could see that you could look out, and it immediately hit me as a 16-year-old kid that the boss can see everything that I do on that sales floor. Not only was there that window that I couldn't see in, but they could certainly see out, but there was all that. And it just was a fresh understanding that he'll see if I do something wrong, but it also reminded me that he'll see if I do something right. He'll see whenever I go out of my way to help that customer that can't find what they're looking for. He'll see when I'm honest with counting the money back. He'll see all of the good as well. And this verse kind of stuck to me whenever the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Let me give you a few thoughts from this one verse. Number one, notice the lens of the Lord. The lens of the Lord. Notice that first phrase, the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever thought about the Lord's eyes? I mean, what kind of eyesight does the Lord have? What kind of eyesight does the Lord have to have in order to see in every place, beholding the evil and the good? I mean, the Lord's got to have the best eyesight ever to go be in every place, beholding all of the evil and all of the good. We believe in an every word Bible, don't we? And He truly can see everything. That tells me that God has to have excellent vision. He has x-ray vision. He has night vision. He has what we call 20/20 vision. He has perfect vision. He's able to see all things. We can't see all things. Our eyesight is limited, isn't it? But yet God sees all things. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord, the lens of the Lord. He sees everything. The moment you pillow your head at night to the moment you rise until you live throughout the day and you pillow it again, He sees everything from everybody. That's amazing. The eyes of the Lord. Sometimes our eyesight is blurred, isn't it? Sometimes we may not be able to decipher and be able to discern the right way to go. Just this week, I got invited earlier in the year to go on a real quick duck hunt down in Mississippi. And it was a really nice trip. I got to see a lot of my family and stuff while I was down there. But I left Sunday night after church, drove through the night, and Brother Tyler Workman was kind enough to ride with me to keep me awake. And he was a good person to ride with me to keep me awake. But we left, drove through the night, and got there at 3 in the morning, and he experienced for the first time Waffle House at 3 in the morning. You know the nice thing about Waffle House at 3 in the morning? You not only get full of food, but you also get entertained by the crowd that's in there, okay? And so we go to Waffle House, we eat at 3 in the morning, and we find out it was a mistake, obviously. But then we go hunting, and we had a great hunt. Wasn't as successful as I wish we were, but we had a good hunt. Well, Monday afternoon, got to see some of my family. Well, we were obviously dead tired, went to bed early on Monday night, got up Tuesday morning and was going to hunt Tuesday morning, and I had my light on, and we were walking. Where we were hunting was old catfish ponds. They raised like farm-raised catfish, and they had stopped using those ponds, and they had let it just grow up with a lot of undergrowth and stuff, super thick, and they went in and flooded those ponds again so the ducks would come in there. And well, if you just have to see it, but it was just it looked like a jungle. I mean, it was just a massive jungle with everything just overgrown, tall trees. And we're walking through the woods. I got my light on, and we're headed to the duck blind. And Brother Josh Carlisle, he pastors out of West Virginia, he was the leader of this whole outfit, and he's leading the way of where we're supposed to be going. Brother Tyler's carrying all the decoys. I've got my gun and my backpack, and my light is really the only light we've got to direct us where we're going. And finally, we get about halfway to the duck blind, and we're having to walk over logs and different things, and Brother Josh says, "Hey, turn off that light." I was like, "Okay, I turn off the light, but now I can't see anything." And I know Tyler can't see anything with all these decoys on his back, and we're just walking very slowly, and finally our eyes adjust. But I begin to think about that. My eyesight is limited in this light. I turned off that light, and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see where I was going. But God's eyesight is never limited. He sees everything, the good and the evil. I have to wear contacts. If I'm not wearing my glasses, I have contacts in. If I don't have my contacts in, I have my glasses in, because literally I see like double. Sometimes I don't have the contacts in, and Leah will FaceTime me at the house, and I'll look at her like this on the FaceTime, and she's like, "Why do you have just one eye open?" And I said, "Because if I do, there's two Leahs, and that I need one." She's not in here. Oh man. And so anyway, I have to wear contacts. I gotta have glasses because my eyesight is limited. However, God's eyesight's crystal clear. And that should get us excited tonight to know that God can see. You see, He has the ability to see past. He has the ability to see present. And He has the ability to see the future. I'm thankful that He can see past some things, aren't you? He can see past the guilt of our sin. The Bible says that our sin and our iniquity, He remembers no more. He's God, and He can choose to remember that sin if He wanted to, but He chooses to look past, to see past our sin, and I'm thankful for that tonight. He not only can see past some things, but He can see what's presently going on in your situation. He knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. He knows the burdens we carry. He knows the struggles that we have. He knows the difficult time that we may be having at the job site, or however we may be having at home, or having with the children. He knows what's going on in our life. To be honest with you, our human ability is limited. We're limited on how much help we can provide somebody, but we have a God in heaven that can see all, and He knows all, and He understands all. He sees what presently is going on in our situation. Go with me to Psalm 34. I want you to see this real quick. I just jotted this verse down right before the message tonight. Psalm 34. And in verse number 15, the Bible says this. In Psalm 34, verse number 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Boy, ain't that good? God's eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. He knows what you're going through. He sees it in the present. And God's well aware of where you are. He's well aware of what you're facing. He cares about whatever it is you care about. And God not only sees past some things, He sees present, but He also can see in the future. God can see what we can be, or the end of a situation before we ever could. You see, I'm thankful that God can see the potential in my life. Sometimes we don't see what God can do with us. I know as parents, us sometimes those vision eyes that we can see what our children could become. I know as when I was youth pastor, God gave me some of that for our teenagers. And I've seen what I get to see even today. Some of our teenagers that were teenagers when we were here, now living for the Lord with kids of their own. That's wonderful to see. But God can see the potential in somebody. You know, I think of Gideon. I told this to the men at the Men of Valor. He just was threshing wheat. He was scared of the Midianites. He was ready to just, he thought that was the end of his life. He was going to be a thresher of wheat. They were eventually going to come kill him. And that was the end. But God said, "Arise, thou mighty man of valor." God saw that he could be a mighty man of valor. Gideon never thought that of himself. David, man, he was just a ruddy little boy. You know, fair countenance, never a great and mighty warrior, but God seen what he could be when he was yielded to him. God sees all. He sees past, he sees present, and he sees the future. I'm thankful for the lens of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord. But notice number two, notice the location he's looking. We see the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Every place. I'm thankful that he sees all, but there's a weight here that he sees everything. He sees the evil. He sees the good. And to be honest with you, it's a blessing to know that he sees every place when we're not running from his presence, when we're enjoying his presence, when we're right with the Lord. But the weight is when we're wrong with the Lord, when we're out of the will of God, when we're doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do, as Jonah, for instance. Boy, Jonah, he understood running from the presence of the Lord. He didn't like the fact that God could see every place. He was trying to run and get away from God and get away from God's call upon his life. But when you're right with God, you're thankful that God can see every place. You see, there's no hiding with God. He doesn't play hide and go seek well because he always wins. I mean, he's God. I think of Adam and Eve whenever they sinned in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that they had sinned, and what did they immediately do? They began to hide from God. God tries to play a little hide and go seek with them, don't he? And he says, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, Adam, where art thou?" But all along, God knew where they were. And how silly it is for us, children of God, when we sin, to think that God doesn't know about it. And we try to hide it from our family. We try to hide it from our spouse. We try to hide it from the preacher. We try to hide it from our kids. But what about God knows about it? He doesn't play hide and go seek. He knows where we're at. He sees the evil and the good. And he wasn't telling Adam, "I don't know where you're at." He was wanting Adam to realize, "I know exactly where you're at." We ought to not run from the presence of God. We ought to embrace the reality that God's eyes are in every place. So we see the lens of God. We see the location that he's looking. But let me give you the last thought tonight, and that is this, the lesson we should learn from this. Again, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He's beholding the evil and the good. The lesson here is very simple. God sees all, the good and the bad. You know, I'm thankful that his vision's not just one-sided. Sometimes we can be like that, can't it? We get one side of somebody's story and we immediately draw the conclusion of the matter. God's not like that. He sees the evil, but he also sees the good. He sees every time I mess up. He sees everything that I look at. He sees everything that I listen to. He knows everywhere I go. He knows how I act in situations. He knows the evil. He knows whenever I'm sideways with my wife, when I'm out of line. He knows when I overreact to a situation. He knows the evil. But he also knows and sees the good. He sees the good that I do. And he sees whenever I obey him quickly. You know, slow obedience is disobedience for our children, but it goes the same for God's children as well. And he sees when I obey him. And he sees when I say no to sin and the temptation of the devil. Hey. But he knows whenever I don't submit to that temptation and I resist the devil. He sees that. And he sees when I choose to serve him with my life. He sees when I get involved in His work. He sees the evil and He sees the good. And so the lesson is this: live every day with the realization that God is seeing everything in every place. And if you'll live your life like that, I just believe that we would live lives that would please Him. Look, I understood once I started working there that the boss could see it's just a minimum wage job. I mean, it's just a job to me. But I still wanted to impress that boss at Walgreens. I wanted to work hard for him. I wanted to do right by Mr. Sean Schlosser. I still remember his name. I wanted to do right by him. I wanted to make him proud. I did. And if I wanted to do that at 16 years old, how much more do I want to do that to my Heavenly Father? I want to live a life that makes Him proud. Makes Him proud, makes Him thankful that I'm His child. You know, us as parents can understand this. Our children, man, especially as they get a little older and they got chores and different things, there's something inside of them that they want to make mom and dad proud. Ain't it? And you can see them trying their best, and it may not be the best, but it's their best, and you're proud of them. It's the same with the Lord. He sees all. I spy with my little eye. God sees all. We ought to understand the eyes of the Lord. We ought to understand the location that He's looking, every place. And don't miss the lesson. He's beholding the evil, but He's also beholding the good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight.